It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel. All at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. We play old-time radio that we think you're going to like, and today's no exception. We're going to specialize this time on television shows, radio shows that became television shows or that were modified into television shows. And with that in mind, let's start off with Blondie and Dagwood. And they were on the radio and very popular in the 1940s. And the peculiar opening that you'll notice is from the Armed Forces Radio Network. They said that nothing else was on, and that's because where they were in the world fighting the war, this Armed Forces program was the only thing available to listen to at that time. So they're kind of making fun at the Dagwood and Blondie show. But it's all good.
Don't touch that dial, because there's nothing else on. You might just as well listen to Blondie. Blondie, rebroadcast for the servicemen and women of the United Nations, with Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake as Blondie and Dagwood Bumpstead, respectively.
And now for our weekly visit with our neighbors, the Bumpsteads of Shady Lane Avenue, who have as their guest tonight Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Yes, tonight, Baby Snooks is going to visit the Bumpstead. But first, let's look in at 127 Shady Lane Avenue and see what's going on. Something seems to be wrong with Alexander, the pride and joy of the Bumpstead family. It seems he isn't enjoying school this year as much as he did before. Blondie and Dagwood are talking to Alexander, who's just arrived home after a hard day with his teacher.
Well, Alexander, how did school go today? Huh? I said, how did school go today?
I didn't notice.
Hey, what's the matter with you? What happened today?
I don't know. I haven't seen the evening paper yet.
We
mean, what happened at school?
Oh, at school.
Yeah.
Oh, Alexander, please pay attention and focus your eyes.
Excuse me, Mom.
Seems like you're only half here.
It's even less than that.
Look, Alexander, we'd like to know what happened at school. We're your parents, and we hope we're not asking too much. But we would like to know what happened at school, if anything.
Oh, it was the same old stuff.
Go ahead. What?
Well, the teacher asked me some questions, and I answered the questions.
Yeah, well, you answered them all? That's my son.
I answered them all wrong.
That's your son.
Alexander, just what seems to be wrong with school this year, huh?
Nothing. There just doesn't seem to be anything right about it.
And that's a hard situation to correct.
Well, I'm going upstairs and mope around. Call me when dinner's ready.
How do you like that?
I don't. I can't understand what's wrong with him.
Well, Blondie, maybe it's one of those things. You know, Blondie, ever so often he decides on his life's work, and he's going to be an actor, a chemist, or a steeplejack, and we have trouble with him until he forgets it.
What do you think he's decided to be this time?
A loafer.
Well, he can't get away with that in this family, even if he did get the idea from you.
Yeah, even if he did get it, Blondie.
Well, Alexander usually sees you lying on that couch.
Yeah?
He hardly knows what you look like standing up.
Oh, Blondie.
He's beginning to think his father is something horizontal that snores.
Now, Blondie, that's not fair. You can't blame me for the way Alexander's been acting.
Well, what do you think is wrong, then? He certainly lost interest in things.
Yeah, he seems to have lost interest in everything. Yeah, well, wait a minute. I'll test him out. Alexander!
Yeah, Pop?
Do you want a quarter? I said, do you want a quarter?
I heard you the first time, Pop. I'm just thinking it over.
He's lost interest, all right. Well, do you want it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, thank you too much.
When I come downstairs again, you can drop it in my pocket.
Maybe he'd like me to spend it for him, too.
Dagwood, you know, I've been thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not taking enough interest in his mental development.
Well, I have. I've always been interested in training his mind the same way mine was trained. But You always chase me away from him.
Well, dear, one Dagwood Bumstead is enough.
Yeah.
You know, Dagwood, I think I'd better have a little talk with him and see if I can't get him interested in something.
Oh, that's swell. Yeah, but what are you going to get him interested in?
I know. I know exactly what I'll talk to him about. I'll explain to him what's going on in the world. You know, Alexander doesn't realize that history is being made all around him. Now, Alexander, I want to have a little chat with you.
Okay, Mom. What about?
Well, you seem to have lost interest in things. I don't believe you know what a very important period the world is going through right now.
Oh, yes, but of course I didn't attend the big powwow at Dumbarton Oaks.
Where? Oh, yes. Now, son, you just ask any questions at all, and I'll, answer them for you.
What are your opinions on post-war planning and the peace?
Post-war planning and the peace?
Yeah, that's right. Post-war planning and the peace.
Oh.
Yes?
Oh, of course, that question isn't very specific, Alexander. Ask me something that isn't so general.
Well, what do you think of Lord Vansittart's proposals?
Who?
Lord Vansittart.
Oh. Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I guess that's that.
Alexander, where did you hear about this Lord, Watchmadoodle?
Oh, I listen to the radio and read the newspapers. You see, Mom, Lord Vansittart is a believer in a hard-boiled peace. He thinks Germany should be occupied for maybe as long as 50 years.
Is that right?
Of course, you know about the Wells plan, don't you?
Well,
Why, Mom.
Now, don't cluck your tongue at me. At least I know the plan was recently worked out by Orson Welles.
Oh, no, Mom. It was worked out by Sumner Welles.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't care. You never can tell what Orson Welles is up to either.
You see, Mom, Sumner Welles thinks we ought to divide Germany up into three separate nations, set up a world council, and put dependent areas under the protection of an international trusteeship.
Well, that's simply amazing. Do you know about the Polish problem, too?
Well, I can tell you what the problem is, but I don't know how they're going to unravel it.
Well, now, maybe between the two of us, we can fix that up, too. I'd like to hear, Alexander.
Just make yourself comfortable. Well, it sort of started with the first partition of Poland in 1712.
Imagine that. Well, I didn't know they had partitions in those days. I thought everybody lived in tents. Hello, Dagwood.
Oh, my gosh, Blondie, you certainly were in Alexander's room long enough. Hey, look, did you get him interested in something? Did you explain to him what was going on in the world?
Dagwood, you just wouldn't believe what's happening in the world.
Yeah? Well, what's happening, huh?
Well, I just had a long lecture on international affairs.
Mm.
You know, our son listens like mad to the radio commentators. In fact, he could be one himself. Sort of a Raymond Graham swinglet.
Yeah, Well, didn't you teach him anything?
No, but I learned a lot myself.
Oh. But, well, did you snap him out of it, huh?
No, dear. There's something else wrong with him, Dagwood, and I don't know what it is. Alexander seems to be bored with life.
He does? Isn't he a little young for that? I thought they didn't get bored with life until they were 16.
They don't? So, I guess he isn't bored with life. Must be something else.
Yeah, well, I know what I'm going to do, Blondie. I'll get him interested in sports. Tomorrow morning, before I leave for the office, I'll take Alexander outside and run him through a little football practice. Yeah, maybe that'll break this up.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll break you up, too. I guess their little football game has gone all right so far this morning. Uh-oh. I spoke too soon.
Well, now, let's see. I guess there are plenty of ice cubes for his head, if it is his head, and plenty of cushions if it isn't.
Oh, Mom!
What happened, Alexander?
Pop tried to go through my side of the line, and I glommed him.
Oh, Alexander.
Well, he needled me into it. I usually pretend I can't hold on to him, but he insisted on my giving him the full treatment.
And you did.
And how? Gee, I'm not in the mood for all this excitement. Well, I've got to be on my way to school, I suppose. So long, Mom.
Oh, wait a minute. Where's your father now?
Ken Niles is bringing him right in.
Now, just take it easy there, Dagwood. Yes, you just lean on me.
Yeah. I'll call the army camp up. I'll have that man court-martialed. They can't do that to Dagwood Bumstead.
Who can't do what?
I've just been sideswiped by a tank destroyer.
Oh. Now, Dagwood.
Do I look like a tank?
Well, I wouldn't have married you if you were.
Yeah, well, I can't understand how it happened. I was whizzing past Alexander with the ball when this tank destroyer butted in.
Now, you didn't actually see it, did you, Dagwood?
No, but you saw where it plowed that furrow in the ground, didn't you?
Your nose did that.
Oh, dear, just look at the mud on your shirt. I'll get you a clean one, dear.
Yeah.
The Bumsteads, as if you didn't know, will be back again in just a few moments.
Are you feeling better now, Dagwood?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I still haven't found out what's eating Alexander.
Oh, Dagwood, look at the time. You're going to be late for the office.
Huh? Oh, I do. Oh, holy smoke! Get the door open for me.
It already is open, Dagwood.
It is? Well, then close it and open it again. Do you want to ruin my timing?
All right, Dagwood. The door's open now, Dagwood.
Okay, honey.
Get out of the way, Mr. Niles. Yeah. He sails out the door like a buzz bomb.
Okay.
Come on, Dagwood. You'll be late for the office. Hurry.
Okay, where's my hat? Where's my hat?
Right there on the hat rack.
Yeah, oh, yeah, here it is.
Oh, that's not the hat rack. That's Ken Niles.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Goodbye, dear.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bumstead.
Whoa.
Come into my office. Why not?
I've got a white voice and elephant. Ha, ha, ha.
All right, come in as soon as you're through. Bumstead!
I was just making up little jokes, Mr. Ditters.
What's the matter with you? What were you doing?
Well, I was thinking.
On company time, huh? I'll bet it hurt, too.
Oh, Mr. Ditters, I've got something on my mind.
I know, it's all over your shoulders, too.
Yeah.
However, what is it?
It's about Alexander. Uh-huh. Ever since school started, he's been moping around and paying very little attention to practically nothing most of the time, usually.
You ought to be hit over the head with that sentence. What's wrong with him?
That's just it, Mr. Ditters. We don't know.
Well, didn't you ever feel like that when you were Alexander's age?
Yeah, I did once. Gosh, I felt terrible. It was like the end of the world.
What happened?
The price of lollipops went up.
How typical.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you know whether the price of lollipops has gone up or down lately.
Oh, the price has stayed the same, but I find they don't last as long.
Oh, I don't know. Anyhow, Alexander's a little more mature than you were at his age.
Huh?
Than you are now, for that matter.
Yeah. J.C., how about it when you went to school? Did anything ever make you feel awful, huh?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, it did? Hey, maybe that'll be a clue. What was it?
Well, there was a cute little brunette in school.
Yeah, I should have known. I'll bet you were a regular wolf, junior grade. go on. What about the little brunette, huh?
Oh, she was 8 and I was 9.
Ah,
what a delicious dish of dimpled divinity.
Oh, no, you couldn't have been that cute, Mr. Diddy.
I met the girl.
Her
name was Gwendolyn O'Toole. She couldn't play jacks or pachisi, but boy, how she could play post office.
Nothing but special delivery airmail letters, huh?
Registered, too.
Yeah, but of course, when you went to school, Mr. Ditters, it was just the Pony Express.
Well, go on. Well, Gwendolyn and I were finally separated. Oh, brother, it was a sad day.
Did her family move out of town?
Oh, no. She went on to 5B and I went back to the fourth grade. I had to sweat out an old geography rap.
Yeah.
I certainly lost interest in life.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll bet that's it. There's a woman behind this, Mr. Ditters. And as the French say, Schutze la Femme.
Oh, yeah, chase the dame.
Well, Dagwood, maybe you've got something
yeah,
there.
Well, come on. I tell you what we'll do. We'll sort of quiz him and find out. Because if it's a girl that's bothering him, we could... What's the matter? Oh, yeah. Hello, Alexander.
Hello, parents.
How's everything at school, Alexander?
Oh, come see, come saw. Just so-so.
Alexander, are there any specially nice girls this year?
Gosh, no. School's been awful since Toots Murphy left. Gosh, what a woman. He certainly could play third base.
What's wrong with the little Rogers girl?
Oh, she always gets weak from undernourishment right in front of the sweet shop.
Mm-hmm.
She gets treated so much, we call her the girl with the golden stomach.
Well, what did this Toots Murphy do?
He used the matches to see who paid.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I certainly miss that gal. Well, that's life.
Mm.
Well, I guess I'll go out and back and burn some leaves.
Oh. Thank you, Alexander.
Yeah, I guess that's it, all right.
Oh, Dagwood, I know just the thing to cure him.
Well, what is it?
Well, a very sweet little girl moved into our neighborhood a few weeks ago. I think I'll invite her over to meet Alexander.
A sweet little girl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who is it?
I think her family name is Higgins, but everyone calls her Snook.
You mean Baby Snook's on the radio?
Yes, dear.
Oh, boy, Blondie, anything can happen now.
Dagwood, that's probably Baby Snook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see her at the door. She certainly is a sweet-looking little girl, isn't she?
Dagwood, you let her in. Oh, dear, I hope she gets along with Alexander. How?
Do the Bumsteads live here?
Yeah, oh, yes. Sure. Here, won't you come right in, Snooks?
Are you Mrs. Bumstead?
Me? Hey, Blondie, did you hear that?
What does she mean?
What do you mean, Snooks?
My daddy says that Mrs. Bumstead wears a pants in this family.
Oh, he must have seen me wearing slacks.
Yeah, that must be it. Well, come inside, Snooks.
Why? Because there's a very nice little boy we want you to meet.
I don't like nice little boys.
Well, what do you like?
I like to throw eggs in electric fans.
Well, Snooks, we have electric fans somewhere. I was only trying to be helpful.
Well, if you want to be helpful, stay here and entertain Snooks.
Yeah.
I'll be back as soon as I can find Alexander.
Yeah, okay. Well, Snooks, won't you come inside and close the door?
Why?
Because it's cold outside.
If I close the door, will it make it any warmer outside?
Well, I don't know. I never thought of that. There. Here we are. Now, is there anything you want?
Yeah.
What?
I want to go home.
But you just got here. Would you like a nice piece of cake?
Chocolate layer cake?
Yes.
A chocolate filling?
Yes.
And chocolate all over the top?
Yes.
I don't like chocolate.
Let's see. Maybe you'd like to play a game, huh?
No.
Will you play a game with me if I give you a penny?
Uh-huh.
Oh, all right. Here's a penny.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's nice. I like to hear little girls say thank you.
Give me another penny and you'll hear it again.
Well, no, let's start the game. Now we'll start the game. You go first.
All right. Adam and Eve and Pinch Me were on a raft. Adam and Eve fell off. Who was left?
Pinch Me.
Okay.
Oh, hey, that hurt. Yeah, what kind of a game is that, huh? A game is something you're supposed to enjoy.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, it's my turn now, Snooks. Adam and Eve and Pinch Me were on a raft.
Adam and Eve and who?
Pinch Me.
Okay.
He did it again.
You want to play another game?
Yeah, well, sure, if it's different. What's this one called, huh?
Adam and Eve and Sock Me were on a raft.
Oh, no, you don't. Get away from me. Bye!
Bye!
What's going on in here?
Unhand that woman, sir.
I never touched her.
Snooks, may I present my son, Alexander Bumstead?
He's funny looking.
Oh, brother.
Now, I want you two children to like each other.
Well, I like her.
Well, what do you say, Snook?
You want to fight?
Now, Snook, don't you know that little girls shouldn't fight?
Uh-huh.
And aren't you ashamed of yourself?
Uh-huh.
Then what do you say to Alexander?
Want to wrestle?
Oh, Snooks, I'm so disappointed. I thought you...
Oh, leave her alone, Mom. I like a girl with spunk. Now, come on, Snooks. Let's go out and play.
All right, funny face.
I love that girl.
Don't you think Snooks is wonderful, Mom?
I certainly do, Alexander.
What do you think, Pop?
I check.
Well, so long, folks. Snooks and I are going out. What would you like to play, Snooks?
I got a swell new game.
What's it called?
Adam and Eve and Pinch Me Wanna Rest.
Dagwood, I don't think Alexander's going to be bored with life anymore.
No, I'll say not, Blondie. You sure cured him all right.
Yeah!
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Alexander is bored with life. From June 26th, 1944, The Blondie and Dagwood Show. And now that was a television show courtesy of the movies. Actually, it was a movie series first, and then later, when television needed material, they took some of those movie series and put them on as television shows. And that's how it works into our theme here for radio shows that turn to television. Well, next we have a radio show and a television show that was named the exact same way. This is called Ozzie and Harriet. If you remember the TV show, it's pretty early in television. The famous duo and their family perform for us once again. So let's join Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard in the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. And they have their special guests, Bing Crosby and his son, Lindsey Crosby.
The solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of International Sterling, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. In this great nation of ours, from the rock-bound coast of Maine to the sunny shores of California, each man has a neighbor. Of course, you can have many neighbors, but there's always one who's your favorite. The neighbor you tell your troubles to, borrow the rake or lawnmower from, play golf or go fishing with. Such a neighbor is Mr. Thornberry, who lives next door to the Nelsons. That's Mr. Thornberry in the Nelson living room, the man sitting in Ozzie's favorite chair. Oh, Ozzie just walked into the room. Huh, looks like he's carrying a pot of coffee.
Here you are, Thorny. I've made another nice, fresh pot for you. Here, let me pour you some.
Yeah, just warm up the grounds in the bottom of my cup.
Yeah? You want cream and sugar?
Yes, please, Oz. I'll have about 6 lumps and a half a cup of cream.
Thorny, you're going to kill the taste of the coffee.
It's the humane thing to do, Oz. I hate to say this, old man, but this coffee tastes like cough medicine.
Oh, Thorny, don't be so unpleasant. Let's enjoy ourselves. After all, we don't get rid of... the wives don't go out very often. Let's have a nice, friendly evening.
Yeah, you're right, Oz. It is nice and comfortable here. That fire's so warm and friendly. Have you seen any good movies lately?
I saw Apartment for Peggy last week.
Oh, did you like it?
Peggy was cute. I didn't think too much of the apartment, though.
I saw a great picture last night. Really exciting. It was called Man's Struggle for Survival.
Oh, a husband and wife picture?
No, it was about a French-Canadian woodsman, Pierre Baptiste. Guy didn't even know he was being photographed. Very exciting stuff. Shooting the rapids, big game hunting.
Oh, Thorny, cut it out. How could they photograph a guy doing that stuff without his knowing it?
Yeah. Well, they claimed it was authentic. But come to think of it, for a French-Canadian who had never left the woods, he certainly could tap dance awfully well.
I'm surprised you're being so gullible, Thorny. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You're absolutely right, Oz. I'm embarrassed. I'm crushed. I'm humiliated. A discredit to the community. I wish I were dead. Give me another cup of your coffee.
I wouldn't take it that hard, old man. Sometimes the thin line between fact and fiction is pretty hard to distinguish.
Yeah, I think you've got something there, Oz.
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, if you pick the right subject, practically anybody will get a little careless with the truth. Let me tell you a very interesting little story that happened right here in the living room.
Is this a true story, Oz, or one of your semi-documentaries?
Drop your feet up there, Thorny, and get yourself comfortable. It happened, I'd say it was about a couple of years ago. You know Charlie Miller down the drugstore? Well, it seems I owed him a dime, and I went into the store to pay him back. Hello, Charlie.
Oh, hi, Mr. Nelson. Say, I'm glad you're here. You could help me with a very big financial problem.
I guess I'm just in time. Here's the dime I owe you.
Oh, no, it isn't that, Mr. Nelson. As a matter of fact, I'd completely forgotten about the dime. It concerns this... don't put it back in your pocket. I'll take it. It concerns this young man here, a stranger in town.
Oh, hello there.
Hello.
What do you do, Charlie? Buy a 5-cent Coke and read $10 worth of comic books?
Oh, much more serious. You see, he wants to buy this Junior Magic set. It costs 89 cents, but his entire capital at the moment consists of 80 cents. We have a deficit there of 9 cents.
That creates a bit of a problem, doesn't it?
I told him I'd pay it back.
Yeah, I know, but you realize 9 cents is a lot of money. And for 9 cents, you can...
You can weigh yourself 9 times.
I think you can trust him, Charlie. He seems to have an honest face.
Yes, he has. However, I'd have a hard time getting his face in the cash register.
Nevertheless, I see no reason why you two gentlemen can't get together on this. Why not put it on a strictly business basis? Maybe there's something you can give Mr. Miller as security.
What's that?
Oh, something you own that he can keep until the debt is paid.
Oh, well, it's a little cold to go barefooted,
No. I couldn't take your shoes, son. I've got a little boy of my own, and I know why... What size are they?
Oh, Charlie, cut it out.
Maybe you don't know me, Mr. Charlie, but I'll bet you know my father.
Oh, I don't think I do. Do you know the boy's father, Mr. Nelson?
Oh, I don't think so. What's your father's name, Sonny?
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby. Well, the name's familiar.
Did you ever hear of the Paramount Pictures?
Oh, sure.
They work for him.
Bing Crosby, you know Mr. Miller.
When the blue of the night meets the goal of the day.
Yeah, that's him. Golly, what's the matter with his voice?
Well, well, so your father's Bing Crosby.
Honest, and my mother's Mrs. Crosby.
Yeah, that follows.
I'll bet you don't know who this gentleman is.
You call him Mr. Nelson.
Oh, that's just because I know him so well. His real name is Admiral Nelson of the British Navy. Oh. Fought in the Battle of Trafalgar Square.
Oh, you shouldn't have told him, Charlie.
Where's your uniform?
Oh, I only wear my gold uniform on shipboard. You see, right now I'm on shore leave. Suppose I advance you the necessary 9 cents to complete this transaction, Mr. Crosby.
Golly, thank you, sir. I'll pay you back.
Oh, of course. In fact, while you're in town, I'd like very much to have you bring your father and come on out to the house for dinner tonight.
Oh, that Admiral Nelson's a real sport. He'll eat with anybody.
Thanks very much. I think my father will be glad to come out.
I'll give you the address on this card here, Mr. Crosby. It's 1847 Rogers Road.
You can't miss the house. Probably several gunboats anchored out in front.
What time shall we be there?
Oh, about 6 bells or 6:30 bells.
Gentlemen, my humble establishment has been honored by the presence of two such famous figures. I salute you both.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
They'll always be in England.
They'll always be a Crosby.
Harriet!
Is that you,
Ozzy? It's Bing Crosby.
What?
It's Bing Crosby.
Swallow whatever that is and come on out in the kitchen.
Oh, dear. Need any help with the dishes?
I could use a little.
Where are the boys?
You're out of luck. They're down at the playground. Grab a towel.
Serves a guy right for walking in the kitchen.
Oh, before I forget it, dear, I think you better have a little talk with Ricky.
Oh, what's he been up to now?
I saw his teacher at the PTA meeting today. Seems he's been telling some pretty big whoppers at school.
Oh, well, that's not so unusual at his age. You should have seen a little kid down at the drugstore. He's telling everybody his father's Bing Crosby. He's a cute little guy. I said, come on out to dinner tonight. Bring your father with you. But he stuck right to his story.
Well, maybe he was telling the truth, dear. Bing Crosby's supposed to be in town.
Now, how do you like that? A little boy makes up a story.
Well, I didn't get this from a little boy. Mother phoned a few minutes ago, and she said she was positive she saw Bing Crosby sitting in the lobby of the Harrison Hotel.
Oh, Harriet, how could she tell?
Well, for one thing, he was dressed like Bing Crosby.
Probably just some guy being initiated into a fraternity. Why, you know your mother's eyes aren't too good. It could have been a loud slipcover on one of the chairs. Oh, hello, Emmy Lou.
Oh, hello, Emmy. Come on in and sit down. Oh,
I can't sit down. I'm too excited. I'm so thrilled. I've got cold chills running up my spine.
What was that?
They ran down again.
Take it easy, Emmy Lou.
Take it easy? Oh, Mr. Nelson, how can you say that? Evidently, you haven't heard the news. He's here in town, the one, the only Bing Crosby. Not a movie, not a photograph, not a record, but for real, himself in the... I blush when I say it. Flesh.
Well, there you are, dear.
I hate to disillusion you, Emmy Lou, but Bing Crosby is not in town. It's just a silly rumor that got started.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, I'm sure you're mistaken. I know he's in town. I feel it. I just love Bing Crosby. He's so... so...
I used to think Rudy Valley was...
Oh, now, wait...
Mr. Nelson.
Harriet, stop dripping that wet dishcloth down my leg.
Well, I hate to rush off, but I simply have to spread the good news.
Emmy, won't you give us just one more little squeal before you go?
Oh, Mr. Nelson.
Audie, stop teasing her.
Oh, please, Emmy. Wait. Let me loosen my tie. Now look into my eyes. For you, my life, my love, my all. I surrender, dear. You know, it's absolutely fantastic the way a story travels. A little kid in a drugstore makes up a whopper.
Hey, Mom, Pop, Bing Crosby's in town.
He really is, Pop. Is that Hotel Harrison?
Well, here you go again, dear.
Look, boys, I hate to disillusion you, but I can assure you Bing Crosby is not in town.
Well, it seems to me the easiest way to find out would be to phone the hotel.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll phone the hotel. The risk of making myself look ridiculous, I'll prove just how silly this whole thing is.
Hotel Harrison.
Hello. I know this is going to sound peculiar. But I'm trying to convince my wife of something.
All right, put her on. Where shall I say you were last night?
No, nothing like that. Is Bing Crosby there?
Bing Crosby? No, he isn't.
Oh, he isn't. Oh, that's too bad.
He's gone for the day.
You mean he is staying there? He's in town?
Well, certainly. Didn't you know?
Well, yeah, of course. I knew he was at the hotel. I just wasn't sure he was in town. Oh, yes.
He and his little boy, Lindsay, checked in this morning. They left about 10 minutes ago.
About 10 minutes ago? Did he say where he was going?
Well, Mr. Crosby is such a funny man. He says such funny things. He said he was going out to have dinner with Admiral Nelson.
In the vine-covered halls of Nelson U at 1847 Rogers Road, Professor Oswald G. Nelson is delivering an account from the vast storehouse of his personal experiences. This one for the purpose of proving that under the proper conditions and given the proper subject, any human being will depart from the truth.
So naturally, Thorny, Harriet found it a little hard to believe that Bing was coming out to our house. Here, let me pour you some more coffee.
Oh, no more, please, Oz. I've had 12 cups. Every time I move, I slosh. Just tell me what happened.
Well, you know how women are. Harriet immediately began to get all excited.
Well, thank goodness I cleaned the house this morning, and there's a roast in the oven for dinner.
Settle down, Harriet. This is Bing Crosby that's coming out, not Clifton Webb or Adolph Manjou. We don't want the house all spick and span. He's a casual, easygoing guy. Dump some tobacco on the rug and get David's BB gun to hang on the wall. Say, I wonder if that old mounted swordfish is still up in the attic. I could put it right over the mantel.
No sign of him yet, Pop.
Look, even watch outside.
Look out, Pop. He's spilling tobacco on that chair.
I know it, David. Here, spread these magazines around the table sort of careless-like.
What's the idea, Pop?
I've just been explaining to your mother there's only one way to make Bing feel at home. That is to mess up the house.
I might add that I don't agree.
Harriet, that's the way Bing is.
Gee, Pop, I've seen him in lots of movies, but he doesn't look messy to me.
David, you can't tell anything from a movie.
He's really a mess, huh, Pop?
I wouldn't say he's a mess, Ricky. Not himself. He just looks a mess. I mean, stop. You know what I mean. He's just a relaxed guy. Have you ever noticed he always walks sort of like he's sitting down?
Ridiculous.
Oh, and another thing. Now, this is very important, boys. Let's not bother him with a lot of questions about Hollywood and motion pictures and movie stars. No questions about Roy Rogers or Gregory Peck or Betty Grable or Jane Russell or Lana. Of course, if he wants to talk about him, that's different. Oh, and above all, don't ask him to sing. That's like inviting a doctor over and getting free medical advice. If he wants to sing, he'll sing, but let's not bother him.
Come on, David, let's go outside. Maybe he's coming.
What was that, dear?
I just put another rip in my sweatshirt. It'll make me feel more comfortable.
I wonder what he likes to eat. I'd like to have something special.
There you go again, Harry. Just throw a couple of old pieces of venison on the stove. Wonder where we could get some moose meat.
Do you think he'll mind eating on the dining room table, or should we just sit cross-legged around the incinerator?
Yeah, I'll get it. Harriet Bing Crosby.
Oh, I'm just awfully glad you could come, Mr. Crosby. Or could I call you Bing?
Oh, do. By all means. I'll call you Harriet. And I take it you're Admiral Nelson?
Oh, we were having a little joke with Lenny. He's a great little guy. By the way, where is he?
Oh, we met your two Pinkerton men down the road a piece there, and Lenny joined up with them. They got something going in the vacant lot. Oh, by the way, a funny thing happened to me on the way to your house.
Pardon me, Bing. You get that, Harriet? That smooth, professional way he slides into a gag. What happened, Bing? That's what you call a straight line. I kind of throw that out to him, and then he punches over the kicker. That's marvelous. What happened, Bing?
No, Oz. It wasn't a gag. A cute little Bobby Soxer walked up to me and said, Bing Crosby? I said yes, and she said,
Knows he gets a little he gets a little horse whinny into the laugh.
It was a filly, you know.
That was Emmy Lou, I guess. Let me take your overcoat, Bing.
Thanks. But I better warn you, afraid I'm not properly dressed.
Don't be silly, Bing. Feel at home here. Look at me. Don't feel shy about your clothes. Off with that overcoat. Let's have a look at that sloppy shirt and those baggy pants.
What? That isn't exactly what I'm worried about, Oz. Look, I'm wearing a tuxedo.
Tuxedo?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bing, I always...
It's quite a story. I'm sure you're familiar with Lake Tehachapuco.
Oh, Lake Tehachapuco. Well, sure. We go up there all the time. What about the lake?
I fell in this afternoon. I shot a 1,500-pound moose, and I was carrying it across my shoulders. You know, and I stepped on a slippery rock and fell in with all my clothes on. That's how come the tux.
A 1,500-pound moose? And you carried him?
Well, his back feet were dragging. Oh, Lenny, I thought you were out playing with the boys.
We came in to get a drink of water.
Oh, hello, Lenny.
Hello, Admiral.
This is Mrs. Nelson, Lenny.
How do you do, Your Majesty?
How are you fellas getting along?
Okay, Mom.
Well, Pop, I just heard you telling about a big moose you bagged this afternoon.
Now, go out and play some. The older folks are talking.
Out.
Tally-ho, boy. Go, boy.
Pop, I was with you all afternoon. I didn't see you shoot any moose.
Lenny,
The only thing you shot was an owl. The only reason you got him, because they can't see in the daytime.
Lenny, boy. Go out and play now. Here's a nickel, a nice shiny one. Your dad just got in a new shipment. Go ahead now.
Hurry up, Lenny.
Okay, last one's out. Bob Hope.
Sorry, folks, I guess the cat's out of the bag.
Oh, you mean about the moose? Oh, forget it, Bing.
No, I want to confess.
Oh, there's no need to confess. We didn't believe you anyway. I mean... What do you think of the story so far, Thorny?
Well, come on, Oz, don't stop now. What happened next?
Relax, Thorny. When I tell a story, I like to take my time. Here, let me pour you another cup of coffee.
Oh, no, Oz, please.
Okay, no coffee, no story.
Okay, Oz, pour away. I wish I had an almanac. I'd like to know just how high my tide is. Come on, finish the story, Oz.
Well, sir, after dinner, we moved into the living room, and the boys went out to play. It was very pleasant sitting there talking while Bing smoked his pipe.
Tell us something about your latest picture, Bing.
Don't make him talk shop, Harriet.
It's a little thing Paramount is
making. Bing, you're on a vacation. Why not forget about work? Let's talk about hunting. I understand the ducks are running.
Ozzy, if Bing wants to tell us about the picture he's making, let him tell us.
But he just told you, Harriet. It's a picture they're making at Paramount. What more is there to tell?
Well, it's called The Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. You know, the...
Yes, dear. Take one out of the kitchen. What were you saying about the picture, Bing?
Harriet, would you please let him forget about his pictures? Have you done much hunting this season, Bing?
Oh, a little now and then. And speaking of hunting, they do quite a bit of it in England, you know. That's the locale of the picture. Has a wonderful cast, Sir Cedric Hardwick and Bill Bendix. And...
When are you going to sing, Mr. Crosby?
Well, just...
Please, David, now that's not nice. After all, Harriet, what are you doing?
Oh, good. You going to play for us, Harriet?
I hope this isn't too forward of me, but could I coax you to sing just one little song?
Oh, no, Harriet. Oh, well, if it'll make you happy. How about Ding Dong Daddy from Dumas? I'll do a verse and two choruses. You remember, Harriet, I sing it in the key of G flat.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I meant Bing.
But, Harriet, he doesn't want to sing.
I do so.
You do not.
I do so.
Do not.
So.
Not.
So.
Well, okay, you can sing, but no whistling.
Gee, thanks, Oz. Oh, Harriet, that's my favorite tune. Love it. East is east and the west is west and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows. Rings and things and buttons and bows. A good left hand, Harriet. Don't bury me in this prairie. Take me where the cement grows. Let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes. You stand out in your buttons and bows. I'll love you in buckskin or skirts that you've homespun, but I'll love you long and strong where your friends don't tote a gun. My bones denounce that buckboard bounce and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's vamoose where the gals keep using those silks and satins and linens that shows, and you're all mine in buttons and bows. Give me eastern trimming where the women are women in high silk hose and peekaboo clothes and French perfume that rocks the room, and you're all mine in buttons and bows.
It was just wonderful, Bing.
That doesn't break the lease. You folks are in pretty solid.
Hey, what's that crowd out on the front lawn?
Mr. Nelson, sir?
Yes, Lenny?
Here's the 9 cents I owe you.
Well, thank you. That's very prompt payment.
Here's $1.25.
Well, what's this for?
Well, we figured it was only fair to give you 10% of the gate receipt.
Well, what's this?
That's what the chairs were for. We charge people 10 cents to hear Mr. Crosby sing.
Well, how did the people know he was here?
We had this sign on the front lawn. Look at it. Isn't it a beauty?
Listen to the golden voice of Bing Crosby at 8 p.m. Seats, 10 cents. Hey, you guys are pretty sharp. That's a very nice lettering on that sign, too. Did you do it, David?
No, sir.
Oh, you did it, Ricky?
No, sir.
Oh, you did it, Lenny?
No, sir.
Well, come on, son. I think it's time we better... We've had a wonderful time, Ozzie and Harriet. Invite us again real soon, won't you?
Oh, you bet.
We've enjoyed every minute of it. Good night, Bing. Good night, Lenny.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, come on, boys. Way past your bedtime. Let's go.
Okay, come on, Ricky.
You coming upstairs, dear?
I'll be up in a minute.
How did you like Bing? Isn't he a wonderful guy?
Oh, yeah, he's a swell guy.
Hurry up, boys.
Not a bad guy, I suppose. Shame he's such an awful ham. Oh, well, I guess that's the way those guys get. Let's see. I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dumas. You ought to see my Dumas stuff. So you see, Thorny, even Bing Crosby is capable of telling a tall story if you get him on the right subject. That moose story he told was worse than some of yours.
There's just one thing, Oz. When Bing came in, he called you folks Ozzie and Harriet. How did he know your first names?
Well, are you implying I made that story up as I went along?
I don't know, Oz. Did you?
Thorny, how can you say that?
How come he knew your name right off?
Well, he remembered it from the first time he was here.
First time?
Thorny, you mean to say I've never told you about the first time Bing came to the house? Oh, it's a very interesting story. Here, let me pour you some more coffee.
Bing Crosby appeared through the courtesy of the Philco Company. Lindsay Crosby appeared through the courtesy of his mother. Tune in next week. We'll be right back.
That's it for now, but when we return, we'll have a whole new set for you to listen to, so join us then. Thank you for listening.